makes music.
Yo, what is up? We're starting off the stream with a new YouTube subscriber. Everybody, how's it going? This is Blake from Blake Makes Music. Thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it. This is going to be a really, really great show today. I've got a great topic prepared. Content strategies for musicians. So not just people who are instrumentalists and stuff like that, but also people who make beats, you know, artists, producers, all kinds of stuff, right? Just if you make music in any capacity, this is for you. Okay, cool. And what I actually think is really cool about this is where a lot of people miss out on their whole strategy for putting stuff online. So we're going to go over that. And then also, if you are here in the live chat, say what's up, say hello. I will respond to you if I can during the show. I basically just, you know, talk to myself, but I want to talk to you guys too. So thank you so much. It will appear on the screen over on this side right there. So just say hello, tell me where you're from, and let's make this a conversation, which is super cool. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button if you haven't. What's amazing is we just went over 130 subscribers. I just got like 3 or 4 in like the last 2 minutes, which is amazing. Thank you so much. So now the new goal is to shoot for 200. Can I get 200 going once, going twice? 200 YouTube subscribers. This is amazing because I think what's going to happen is we're going to get, I think we can get to 1,000 by the end of the year. But I don't want to jinx myself. I'm going to knock on this fake IKEA wood. All right, cool. So let me explain the show for a second. If you're new, I see I've got a poll going up on YouTube right now that most of you joining today are first-time live streamers with the show, which is amazing. So this is a live stream podcast, and what that means is you can chat with me, and we have a conversation, a topic. I take the video that you're watching now and I edit it just a little bit and I put it on all podcast platforms, video and audio. And I think my dog's about to bust in here because she's a little lonely, but I put it on all podcast platforms and it goes out, which is amazing, and all video platforms. So if there's a video platform out there, it absolutely goes out there. YouTube is the one I'm trying to grow the most, so I really appreciate any sort of help, a like, a notification bell, subscribe, a comment, all that kind of stuff. So what I want you to do is, if you're watching this on YouTube, that's amazing. Thank you. If you're not watching this on YouTube, please go to YouTube and just comment. Let me know what you're working on. Are you working on like a project? Are you working on some beats right now? Are you working on an album? Tell me about what you're working on, and I'd love to know. Very next thing before we start going to the topic is I'd like to also give my patrons a shout out. As always, Josh and Maurice, thank you so much. Their Instagram links are always in the description, and I just posted something really cool for you guys, and if you're interested in joining the Patreon, it is on musicadvice.io, and so you can check this out. It's going to be cool. The thing I just released on the Patreon, 100 content ideas for musicians. So this is really cool. So it's for people who want to get some ideas on what type of stuff to put out there other than their music, which is what we're going to talk about today. But if you're like me and you don't drink enough coffee in the morning or what have you, and you're having a hard time getting your brain started, that's what this is for. So there's 100 things. You have zero excuses now. 100 things that you can do around your music that will help engage your audience and build a new audience, that's what you want, right? So that's awesome. Only 598 more patrons until I do something crazy. I'm not going to say what it is. I don't want to jinx anything. But once I get to 600, we're doing something crazy and everything on the show is going to change. That's my goal. Whether it takes a day or it takes 10 years, I don't care. Something amazing is going to happen. I also do giveaways. So once we get to 100, we are 2% there. I'll be doing a pretty cool giveaway. It will be gear related, which is amazing because I know we all make music. So check that out. Last but not least, if you haven't grabbed the book, The Modern Artist and Songwriter Journal and Toolkit. Please check that out. It is on musicadvice.io. It is a 92-page strategy guide for musicians. And if you haven't snagged that yet, it's free. Musicadvice.io. You can pick up yours, which is something that I personally use for all of my content and everything. So I basically put everything but the kitchen sink in this book. So the podcast is going to be, it's basically the supplement to that book, and the book is the supplement to the podcast, which is awesome. So teaser, topic of discussion before we go to commercial break for just 30 seconds, bear with me, is content strategies for musicians. It's not about your music at first. Okay? So check this out. We're going to do a quick ad and we are going to go right into it. This podcast is brought to you by Coinbase. Everything you were taught about money in public school was wrong. The system wants to keep you poor too. It doesn't have to be that way though. With Coinbase, you can buy and sell crypto with ease. It's so easy, even your mom can do it. Coinbase will even pay you in certain crypto to learn about new tokens for free. Do a little trading and you can even unlock the Coinbase card, which allows you to buy regular items using crypto or dollars and get back rewards in various cryptocurrencies. It's a no-brainer. Part of being successful in life is learning how money works. No one got rich from a savings account and a minimum wage job. Let Coinbase teach you how it all works.
Blake Makes Music is not a financial advisor, and all the financial information is purely for entertainment or educational purposes only.
To find out how to get $10 worth of Bitcoin on Coinbase when you sign up, check out musicadvice.io. All right, cool. So I actually do have that Coinbase card. It's amazing. You can get back different forms of crypto when you use it just like a debit card. I like that kind of stuff. If that's something you're into, you can go check out musicadvice.io, which is awesome. And so let's do this. I want to talk today about content strategies for musicians. And this is super important because I've been posting some things on like TikTok and Instagram and things like that, which has been a lot of fun. And I've been getting a lot of feedback. And it's positive mostly, which is cool. Some weird comments, but it's all good, you know. And I think people are really interested in coming at it from the perspective of why people are not really why they're not successful when they're really good at music, you know. So going on to another topic. A subtopic from that whole series that I'm doing is another reason why people aren't successful is their content strategies are awful. So we're going to talk about what a content strategy is, what, you know, some different ideas, things that I do, things that other people do, all that good stuff. So what I also want to do, I forgot to say this earlier, this is a conversational live stream. So I'm gonna talk to everybody in the chat and everything, but I do have an open Q&A at the end. So for example, Xanax Beats, trying to get through writer's block, been hitting hardcore. He's been hitting you hardcore ever since you try to focus on making one style of music. Well, I'll definitely talk about that right after we talk about the content strategy stuff. So I'm gonna try to help out whoever's got questions. So you know, if you've got questions that are unrelated to this, or that's cool, type them in the chat, because if you're like me, you're going to forget. I forget. So just type them in the chat. I will be happy to help you out. So content strategy. What is a content strategy? So the first thing is that you want to think about the fact that how people find music first. You want to think about how people find music. And you want to start from thinking about how you find new music. I find new music by Spotify playlists and on YouTube. That's how most people find music, but there's all kinds of other ways to find out about new music. More so like, you know, your friends, family members showing you stuff. That's cool. Maybe the radio, but most people don't listen, at least my audience, most people don't listen to pop stuff. So you want to think about that. How do you find music? Again, I use Spotify, for the music and playlists that I like to check out, but YouTube is also really good. And also TikTok, Instagram, things like that, social media. That's another way that people find out about new artists. And most of the time, You don't just like, you know, stumble upon, oh, cool, here's the music. Sometimes you have to get really invested into something, and it takes you a little bit of time to really get to know this artist and put them in your top, let's say, 10, top 20, maybe top 30 favorite artist, which is good. That's what you want as an artist or a producer, because you want people to return back to you and continue to build upon the relationship of artist and fan base. That's what you want. That's what I want for you. So what you have to do is you have to think about, how do you get... I'm going to use my wallet. Actually, I'll use this. This is your music. This is your fan base. There's a big gap there. How do they find you? And Spotify playlists can be one form of a content strategy. That's something that I also would recommend. But we're going to talk outside of the obvious, which is like, you know, soliciting your music to people who can control those playlists. We could do a whole episode about that, which is awesome. So super important, but we're going to talk about the other things. So YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, things like that. That's what we're going to focus on. So I want to go through a couple of things. The content strategy is taking the way that search algorithms work and what your content is, and trying to figure out who your audience is and trying to connect those dots so that your content can get in front of the right people. So I used to hear about this in a marketing class when I was at Musicians Institute, and they were talking about like shotgun marketing versus like sniper marketing. So being like, let me explain that for a second if you can't tell already from what I'm talking about. Shotgun marketing is like just trying to get your music out to as many possible people as you can. And that doesn't work very, very well, at least. That usually doesn't work because most people don't like all music. They like some music. Or if they like all genres, it's usually like the people who like all genres typically are super picky about every single genre. Like that's me for sure. But let's say you're really into punk rock, you're going to have like a really wide spectrum of, you know, not just skill sets and things like that that you're attracted to within punk rock, but you're going to have a bigger acceptance for punk rock as a listener, right? So sniper type marketing is like pinpointing exactly who you're trying to target. You'd want to target people who listen to punk rock. You don't want to target people who listen to pop, usually. You're going to get a better reaction. So you want to have someone just being not just being a listener. You want them to engage with you. That's the most important thing, is engagement. So I'd rather have a very engaged cult following, small cult following of like 1,000 fans, as opposed to you know, let's say 100,000 people who kind of care any day. So what I want to do is I want to kind of do a little brainstorm thing for a second and go over some different ideas before we go into the Q&A. And if you have other ideas or comments, please go ahead and chat, you know, in the comments here. I'll be able to see it. And if it's related, I'll read it out loud and we can all discuss it. It'll make it on the podcast. So first thing you have to do is you really have to figure out who your audience is. And this comes after you make the music, but it's tied to how you go about writing your music too. The best thing you can do when you're making music is trying to be the best version of your authentic self. You should be able to create music like yourself, like nobody else can. I know that sounds super obvious, but you know, we're talking, I think on the last podcast about, you know, how to go about being authentic a little bit, and that was a big one. So being able to find your sound is super important. So let's pretend in this case that you found your sound, or you're kind of like, you're not releasing 12 different genres every week, okay? So that's the first thing. So what you have to think about is like, try to get to know your audience and think about what they do and what do they like other than music. So I'll give you an example. If I'll use punk rock again, because I've, you know, why not? If you make punk music, you have to think about these lifestyle questions, right? So it's probably safe to say that a sizable portion of the people who like punk rock may skateboard, may like other types of bands or other types of maybe movies, things like that. You want to get into the subculture of your music, which is really important. It's not really stereotyping, but it kind of is in a way, but not really in a negative sense. It's more about like analyzing cultures from music. And that way you can figure out where they're at and what kind of stuff they're into. So that way you have a better targeted approach to how you're getting your content made and what you're making outside of your music in order to put yourself in front of those people. I'll give you an example. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. If you are also into skateboarding and you play punk rock music, then you should definitely be making content around skateboarding featuring your music. Obvious. So the next thing you have to think about is, what do you like being the best version of yourself when it comes to your music? What are your secondary interests? That's super important. What are your secondary interests when it comes to your hobbies? Like for me, obviously, it's like comic books, right? I'm super into comics. I'm super into podcasts. I'm super into movies. I'm super into pop culture, all of that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff can help you figure out like your fan base and where they're located and all that good stuff. So for example, if you are really into fishing and you make country music, that could make a lot of sense, right? Then you could probably market your music in a very specific way and make content for those specific people that can really kind of create a more dedicated following. You know, going back to like, I'd rather have 1,000, a small 1,000 fan, like fan base, as opposed to 100,000 people who care kind of. So that's what you want to think about is, you know, what do you like? Are you a foodie? Like, do you like, you know, cooking? Like, what's your deal? Find something that can complement your art as a musician. Very important. And if you're watching this right now, let me know what other stuff you're into as well. Like, tell me, are you into comics? Are you into, like, travel? What is your thing? And that can actually, people might be able to comment on your comment and kind of give you some ideas on what kinds of things that you could be doing for your music too, which is awesome. So here's the next thing you have to do. Once you kind of figure out what your subculture is within your music and what those people typically gravitate towards, you want to create a schedule. You want to create a schedule, and I'm not talking about your content yet. I'm talking about your life schedule, because things are about to get very busy for you, which is important. If you're not busy with your music career, then that's the first problem. You want to create a schedule of when you're available, so you can maximize that time, and you want to map it out. So you want to know how many hours throughout the week do you actually have outside of like work, eat, sleep, being with family, all that kind of stuff. You need to know how many hours that is, and then you can divide that out, because when you make content, that takes time. Other than, you know, making beats and making music and writing songs, all of those things are super important. So when it comes to managing your time, this is where people fall off, because one of the big tent poles of content strategy is consistency. You have to be consistent. And it's like the 21-90 rule, like 21 days to build a habit and 90 days to build a lifestyle. So I believe that. I think that if you create a schedule and you live by that schedule for 3 months, you've developed a lifestyle. You're invested into it. That's how your mind thinks at that point. You are always trying to make other things in your surroundings fit that schedule, as opposed to you trying to fit your schedule into your surroundings, which is really hard. So just stay with it. That's super important. Don't give up. Because if you give up on the schedule, you're probably at some point going to give up on your music, unfortunately. And this is contrary to what a lot of people might think, but building a schedule actually prevents burnout, which is really interesting. So if you build a schedule and you don't overwork yourself, because you can always tailor it. Let's say you're working on your music 30 hours a week, which is a lot. And you should try to get to that point if you can, if you have a second, you know, if you have a normal job and stuff. But let's say you're doing 30 hours a week. You go through it for a month. You're going, you know what? I don't have any time to do X, Y, and Z, or I'm way too tired, or I just need, on Sundays, for example, I'd like to take a break so I don't get burnt out. Awesome. You're going to appreciate that break so much more. You're going to be able to get so much needed rest. You're going to be able to kind of, you know, get some more inspiration, or maybe you need some time to find some inspiration. Xanax Beats, or you could pronounce it Zane X Beats, which is pretty cool. You know, he's having trouble with writer's block. That's something you could fit into your schedule in order to make it a lot more tangible, but you have to stick to it. You have to stick to that schedule. So the other thing you want to do is take your content schedule, take your lifestyle schedule, your content schedule, which we're going to talk about in a second. You have to make sure that you are, sorry, that's a really funny comment. I'll get to that in a second. You want to take your lifestyle schedule and you want to take your, these people are hilarious. I love people. They're great. This is awesome. So if you're listening, I have someone asking who I'm talking to because I'm doing a live stream podcast and I've got the listeners telling other people what's going on. Oh, hey, what's up? What's up? Bonsea, welcome to the podcast. we love you too. Welcome to the family. So as I was saying, you want to take your lifestyle schedule, your content schedule, and release schedule. And you want them to overlap, and you want to make sure that they can work. So let's talk about content schedule, being consistent. So in my book, what I talk about is thanks for following. I appreciate it. I talk about the 52-week single release schedule, or hypothetically, if you were to have 52 songs or 52 beats or what have you, recordings, then you could release one every single week and have something new to discuss. Now, you don't write a new song and put it out immediately. You want to stack the content. So what that means is, like, let's say you want to do 52 tracks. Well, it would be a good idea for you just to burn through 52 tracks as quickly as you can. And every Friday you have a new track that you come out with and you have something new to talk about on all of your social media. So what you do on your calendar is, let me pull up a calendar actually as I'm talking. We can kind of look at it together. What you want to do is you want to look at what you could put in to your content in order to promote it and be consistent with it. So I'm going to pull up a calendar. Let's see here. So if you're watching on a video platform, you'll be able to see it. So I'm going to point with my mouse and everything, so we can all be on the same page. All right, cool. Cool. So on your calendar, for example, if you were to do the 52 songs that you're going to be releasing, you'd calendar that out way later than 3 months. So like, you know, 4 or 5 months in advance. Don't just make a song and then release it the next day, because no one's going to listen to it. You have no time for doing any of the prep work that you have to do, I promise you, right? So let's say you're doing this right here. You have a song coming on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, the 28th. Now, all you got to do is, it's kind of like bingo. You want to figure out what you can put in right here Monday through Thursday, or even Sunday through Thursday. And then on Saturday, what can you be doing in order to make people consistently pay attention to what you're doing? For example, on Saturdays, if you're a live musician, that's a good time to play a show. You want to do that Saturdays and Sundays possibly. And then Monday through Thursday, you can create some content on Instagram. You can create content on TikTok, Facebook, all of that kind of stuff. We want to create something that's tangible in between those releases. Now, if you're making a release you know, twice a week, twice a month, or, you know, once a month, you would fill in those blanks too. And if you need that, that schedule, I have it in my book, musicadvice.io. It's a free copy. Make sure you grab yours. And you want to make sure that you have this mapped out, but you got to have the songs first, because you don't want to try to hurry and rush yourself on the creative process. You want to work in cycles, just like if somebody was, a series on Netflix, you would take all the time to write it, all the time to plan it out. You would schedule it out and you would film it. That's like the recording process, right? And then you would edit it. That's the mixing process. And then that goes to all the post-production, right? Then it goes to a release schedule. Then there's a marketing phase for that, for those episodes. But they filmed, let's say, all 10 episodes at the same time. They're not filling them every single week and trying to rush to put them out. You shouldn't do that either. You should be making music in batches and releasing them. And you want to release them in singles, because this is a singles type of market right now. People don't listen to albums right now. And that's because of the way that the playlist is formulated. Playlists are social. They're like micro radio stations, and basically. And you want to play to the market. You don't want to think about how things were done 10, 20 years ago. 10, 20 years ago, people are buying albums and all kinds of stuff. And for your super fans, people who want to give you money, you know, for all the stuff that you make all the time, that's amazing. You can put those songs together later and create an album or throw in a couple of bonus tracks. But right now, it's easy to market your music every single week if you have something new to come out with, or every 2 weeks if you're super busy. It could be done. Anybody can do it. If you can't come out with a track every single month, then you have to recalibrate how you're spending your time, you know? So anyways, if you have questions or comments about this, go ahead and put them in the live stream chat. That'd be cool. The next thing you want to do is you want to think about your needs and assessments for creating the content. And we're going to go into some ideas and stuff. But here's my opinion. The best thing that you could ever do investment-wise for your career is buying a decent camera. And if you can, look, if you got a phone, start with a phone. There's no excuse. Start with a phone. Most phones that are like, you know, come out in the last couple of years are way past good enough to make YouTube content. Way past good enough. And a lot of interfaces and things like that can also work with a phone or an iPad, things like that, which is pretty cool. So gear should not be an issue. In my opinion, if you have something separate, like I've got an SLR camera that I use for multiple things, and, you know, within music and also with work and stuff like that too, it is the best investment I ever made as far as like my career goes, because I'm able to make so much more stuff. So the next thing that you want to do is you want to take your content ideas and your schedule and the things you're going to be making around your music, like music videos, vlogs, all that kind of stuff. You want to think about it from an analytical standpoint now and think about how you can make these things better, how you can appear in that search bar. And I'm going to pull up YouTube and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. All right, cool. I'm going to pull up YouTube. And this is so simple, but a lot of people miss this. You should be making content for your potential audience when it comes to the things around your music. So here we go. There we go. So we got YouTube here. Let's go to Google Trends and let's type in music production under trends.google.com. And we want to go to a YouTube search and let's type in hip hop beats. Let's type in trap beats. Okay, cool. So here's what you can learn. These are search terms, and these are search terms within YouTube. So, for example, if you are going into YouTube and you type in trap beats, you could see here all of the videos here that are pulling up. If you were to also combine that phrase with music production, or let's say copyright free, you can, let me fix this, copyright free. I get a little trigger happy on the keyboard here. Okay, copyright free trap beats. You wanna figure out what people are searching for when you put your content out. You wanna get really good at using this tool. And then down here, it can also show you some related things. It can show you all kinds of stuff. So another thing that I will come back to this in just a second. You want to get really good at that and using the search bar here and being able to filter things out and trying to figure out what people are searching for in trends. That's super important when it comes to getting people to find your content, because you should be making and titling your content based on what people are searching for. And that's not a thing to sell out for. It's not about you're not changing your music. You're changing things like what you're titling things, what you're putting into your description, all of those things. What are you calling your playlist? You want to really sit down and think about that. That's really important, because you can also see here, like on the right, YouTube mix. There's all kinds of like keywords here that you can pay attention to. And there's all kinds of stuff. These are tracks, and you can kind of see like the word instrumental pops up a lot on this specific search. So if you're not titling your stuff, you know, let's say trap beat instrumental copyright free or something, for example, then you're going to be missing out on a lot of people possibly finding your music. The titles and the descriptions are super important when it comes to like YouTube searches. So the next thing I want to talk about is having to create value outside of your music, because that's not, the music is not enough. When it comes to entertainment, the music industry is actually like pretty far down in terms of like revenue compared to, let's say, gaming, compared to films, compared to content creation, all of that kind of stuff. Music is kind of towards the bottom in terms of like how much money it makes. It makes a lot of money though, but in terms of those other things, right? So if you're able to take your music and create value outside of your music, which can mean a lot of different things, but it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. So for example, you could be doing a podcast like this, right? That could be some sort of value. You're wanting to give people information. You want to be able to give people some sort of entertainment, anything like that that you can do outside of your music. Or, it could be, purpose-driven music. And what I mean by that is like, let's say you make hip-hop beats. That's great, but what if your hip-hop beats are lo-fi? Well, then you can create content for people who want to do like lo-fi study music, things like that. That makes sense because people are searching for those things. Those things also get on playlists. So, very last thing is you should be on YouTube making YouTube content like crazy. You should also be on TikTok making TikTok content like crazy. You should be making so much content. The more content you can make, the better. And the small content, we call that micro content, like on TikTok, that kind of format where it's like around 60 seconds or less. I mean, you could do more on TikTok, but that's what you'd be going for. You should be doing at least one of those micro content-based things like every single week, at least one a week. You should be doing one every day, to be honest with you, if you can. But those kinds of things, those algorithms are nasty algorithms, meaning like they can really figure out who you are, what you like, what you're into. So if you use those algorithms to your advantage and you really kind of pump all of your energy into those platforms and try to make content for people and let the algorithm work for you, you could find all kinds of fans that way. You would be surprised. It just takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of like coming back and going, you know, this worked, this didn't work, let me try this instead, all of that good stuff. So that way you can, you're going to be making adjustments based on your failures. You're going to have to try things and it's going to have to not work out until you fine tune your own brand. You have to do that. So I'm going to go into the different types of things that you could be doing around your music. Consistent stuff. So the biggest one that anybody can do is a vlog. There are so many popular vlogs on YouTube right now that are about nothing. They're not travel. They're not food. They're just about nothing. They're just about people talking. They're edited in a way that is interesting. They're edited in a way that is that keeps you looking at the screen. It's not like this with a live streamer. It's just one shot. Like, there's a lot going on in the video. Casey Neistat is a good example. Like, sometimes his stuff is about nothing, but so many people watch it, you know? So anybody could do that. And you just have to figure out, like, what are you doing every single day that would be interesting? Well, if you make music, you can make a vlog about making music. There's a lot of people that would watch that. There's a lot of people that would watch, even if you're new and you're just vlogging the concept of you going through something difficult as someone who is trying to make music. That's something people can relate to. If you are good and seasoned at making music, that is also something that people would relate to, or something that someone could look up to and learn something from you, which is super important. And Xanax Beats, I appreciate what you're doing. Really valuable information. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That means a lot. That means a lot. I really appreciate it. The next thing you could do is you could start a podcast, which is a really good thing too. And I want you to think about how podcasts work. So this is a live stream podcast. I title these things a very specific way. I'm doing, you know, searches for what's trending and all that, so I can try to make an episode that people are hopefully going to benefit from when they search. And I think when you look at the growth of the channel, thanks to everybody here, mind you, it's really kind of outpacing my expectations. And I'm a social media strategist, like that's my day job. That's my day job. So, and it surprises me, and I'm the one doing it. So, podcasts are an amazing way to reach an audience. And if you try to combine your efforts and reuse these things, like, I'll give you an example of what I've been doing. I've been taking the clips out of this long form live stream podcast, and I've been breaking them down into 60-second edited clips, putting them out on all of the social media networks that will take a vertical video, which is basically all of them. So what happens is this is great. So maximizing your time, because if you write out what you want to accomplish on your calendar, like, I would recommend printing it out, or just like, if you have the book, rip out a page. That's what it's there for. Rip out a page, write it out. And the way I do my content is because I needed more time, but I didn't have. So I'm able to, get a lot of uses out of what I'm doing. I can get all kinds of content. So I got the live stream going, every time I do this now, which is amazing, I have at least one person discover what I'm doing because of the live stream. We had that happen just a few minutes ago, which is awesome. Then it goes on podcasting platforms. It's the same thing. Sometimes it's an audio version. Sometimes they're watching it on Spotify, which is the video version, which is really cool. And they'll find things based on what they're searching for there. Then it goes on social media platforms. Then I'm breaking it down. It goes everywhere. And I'm creating content based on what people are searching for, or I'm editing out the stuff that I'm talking about today later on, based on what is a searchable clip, or what is a clip that the algorithm could really use that people would probably get something something from it. I stutter and have like all kinds of brain farts and stuff, so I edit my stuff like crazy, if you haven't seen it. And if I could do it, you could do it. If I could do it, you could do it all day. So the next thing you could do, which I think is really fun, I'd like to do this eventually, is doing music and gear reviews. So you can review other people's music, all that kind of stuff. You could also do music reaction videos, but from the perspective of you being a music maker, or you being a songwriter, or you being a producer, whatever you want to do. Pay attention to like one aspect. Try to create a spin. Like if you're going to do this, do it from a perspective that someone hasn't done yet, or try to operate in a lane where it's unique. A really interesting one, there's a girl that is an opera singer, and she'll listen to like heavy metal music that her like viewers will suggest to her, and comment on the performance from the perspective of an opera singer. And whether you're into opera or you're into metal or you're into reaction videos, it's an interesting perspective that you're not going to get from somebody else. One of my favorites is like people who listen to hip hop listening to metal, or people listening to rock listening to hip hop. Because if I've heard the song before, it's like watching someone else watch it. It's like hearing it all over again, living through somebody else. It's really cool. So anybody can do that too. Anybody can do that. And it's a really great way. Now, what do? I go, hey, who is this opera singer? Let me check out her music. Not my cup of tea, but imagine the people who are into that kind of stuff. She probably gets all kinds of fans out of that, I would imagine. One of the biggest people on Patreon actually does music reviews, and they're a producer, and that's all they do other than making music. They just do music reviews. So it's not cheap content. It's actually good content, and it's something you will never run out of. I'm going to be doing reviews on this show, but I'm not going to be doing it in the same way that I'm doing this podcast, because in around April or so, I'm going to take a small break I'll be putting out episodes, but it's not going to be live for just like a few weeks. And then I'm going to be doing other things. So maybe music reviews will be part of that. And there's a pretty cool feature that I'm going to talk about when we get there, in terms of music discovery. So gear reviews. This is awesome. So I play guitar, and I always search for like new gear, even though I'm not buying it. It populates on my YouTube feed all the time. Guitar pedals, guitars, amps, cables, guitar picks, strings, anything you could think of that's gear related for guitar, I think I've seen all of it. Like for real. Like it's all over my YouTube algorithm, which is amazing. And I'll watch all of it. So when it comes to people who make content for guitar players that also make music, I probably know most of them, the big ones, and a lot of small ones too. So if you're a producer, you make beats, you're a songwriter, you have some sort of like, physical aspect that you appreciate in your setup, start there. Start with the gear you have. Like I could review this mic, these headphones, all this kind of stuff, right? And people would click on it. They go, hey, I'm thinking about getting these Behringer Dynamics 770s. What does the average person think about it? And you have to remember that the YouTube search bar is the second biggest search engine in the world, next to Google, in general, which is amazing. Now, if you're trying to get certain types of feedback, I would say that for, let's say, getting how-tos, like things like that, YouTube is the biggest one. So here's the one people miss out on, but it's totally obvious. This is the biggest thing you can do on YouTube and other platforms that could explode your career. So I got a couple extra people watching right now, so this is for you all. Cover songs. And I know you hear this and you're thinking, but I don't want to do this. Or making, even if you're making electronic music, if you can, and you can pull up the search trends again on your own, trends.google.com, pull up, type in cover song or cover version and see what the related searches look like. This is what people are searching for right now. So if you make a cover of that specific song, if it's something that you also like, then you can you could really populate into a lot of search bars, because that's what this is about. This is about trying to appear in the search results. That's it. It's search engine optimization. And here's the other thing. You get a lot of content out of doing a cover song or doing a remix or doing any of that kind of stuff. And you can release it in many different ways. If you go through DistroKid, which there's an affiliate link in musicadvice.io, which I appreciate anyone doing that, you get a small discount and helps out the channel. You can pay for the license to do the cover directly through them. There is no excuse. You can release cover songs. You can do a remix, but you just have to make sure you know what you're doing. DistroKid will help you do all of that kind of stuff if you're going about it the right way. You're literally talking about checking a box and paying an extra $10 a year for the cover song. That's it. Super easy. And then you get YouTube content because you got to film it. You need to film it, or you need to at least have a video of it if you're doing a remix in some way. And then the other thing is, like, you should have a subscription service like a Patreon or something like that where you can offer that to your fans to download it something special, especially if you're not able to put it on Spotify, you know, Apple Music, all that kind of stuff. Because if somebody hears something on YouTube and they go, and in the video you plug your Patreon and you go, and just like I do, and you say, cool, you can get the song for download on my Patreon by subscribing. And let's say it's $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever it may be, whatever your tiers are like. Then think about all the people that go, I love that song. I love that version so much. And there's a good chance that they do like that song because they searched for it to begin with. And now you have extra stuff you can do. I've got so many people I've seen on YouTube build their careers off of this. And you should see the shows that they sell out. Like, it's crazy. They're always playing live because they started doing, like, interesting versions of songs that, like, Leo Morticelli, Leapfrog Studios, does metal versions of pop songs and, like, classic songs. And this dude will sell out, like, all of his shows. And most people don't know who this dude is, which is crazy. And you might have seen him. He's got so many subscribers. And there's versions of his metal covers of songs that I like better than the originals, because I'm going to listen to that more than I'm going to listen to Britney Spears. It's fun. You know, it's a fun thing. But he's also got a lot of original music out there. He's got so much music. Just go check him out. Leo Morticelli. I think it goes by just Leo on streaming platforms. Okay, well, I'm going to go through a couple of these, and we're going to go through the Q&A. Xanax Beats has got he's got a question about writer's block. I think that's super important. We talk about that. Tutorials, that's an easy one. If you've got a DAW, digital audio workstation, Pro Tools, I use Studio One and Logic. You can use Ableton, whatever, GarageBand, whatever. You could do tutorials about how to do the stupidest things, how to make a track, how to get a mix, how to mix piano, whatever it could be. It could be as easy as, super beginner stuff or advanced, whatever it may be. People are going to pay attention to what you're saying, and they're going to appreciate your content. And here's the best thing about tutorial videos. When you watch things on YouTube and TikTok, Instagram, the more you watch that content, even if you don't subscribe, they will continue to show you things every now and then in that feed that are coming from that channel. And most likely you got other questions about that same software or skill set or whatever it may be. So if you're making more content that feeds into that, because your fans could be musicians, that could be your fan base. That's a thing. Xanax Beat says, my biggest post right now is a remix. I didn't show myself in the video, though, so I don't think a lot of people connected with me. Yes, 100%. 100%. that is a, first of all, really cool that a remix is your biggest video. I think that kind of proves back on the concept that I was talking about earlier. But people want to connect with you, which is really, you should feel good about that too. People want to connect with you as a person. They don't want to connect with a picture. That's boring. You know, like people scroll past that all the time on Instagram. Video content will outperform photo content on ads, posts, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it blows it out of the water. Like it's not even close. It's over 10x, well over 10x. So meaning like if you get 10 likes and view, like say 100 views and 10 likes on a like a photo on Instagram, if you do a video, it would be like 1,100. It wouldn't even be close. Way past that. So just trying to figure out a way to incorporate yourself into the video is super important. Even if you're pretending to do the remix, no one's going to know. No one knows. I'm still sold that DJs at these big festivals, it's all pre-recorded and they act like they're doing stuff with faders. Like, I don't even know if it's plugged in. It's like playing the Super Bowl. It's all pre-recorded. But you being on camera, being seen, you know, past the screen as like a person, like people will always connect with you way more, you know, which is really important. I think that's cool that you brought that up. How to get music in movies and TV. Yeah, we could talk about that in the Q&A for sure. I'm almost done, so we'll talk about that next after we talk about writer's block. Here's the other thing. I got three more types of content that you can create. So one is comedy skits. If you're a funny person and you're not making comedy skits on TikTok, you are missing out so bad. Like people love feeling good. There's a lot of negativity in this world. And if you're a person who can make people smile in any way at all, and you're not putting it on TikTok, you're being silly. No pun intended. Just go make it. Like, it doesn't have to be stand up or anything like that. It could literally just be skits or you having an idea or you responding to people. I mean, TikTok is made for easy, quick content. I mean, you could see it all over the place. So comedy is a big one. One of my favorite YouTubers, I don't know if you TikTokers, the dude that pretend he's like a school teacher. And he does like videos from the perspective of his kid, like a kid asking a dumb question or whatever. Like that person is also a musician, and like you can go listen to his music, which is kind of cool. So you want to definitely look at what other people are doing on these platforms and kind of see like what's working. That's super important. It's an obvious thing. Here's the next thing: going on other people's podcast. I'll get to that at a certain point in time. Again, after April, we'll have people on the podcast, which would be cool. And I hope somebody in the chat can also be on it, which would be amazing. We're going to do that at a certain point. But there's all types of small podcasts out there that just want interesting people. You don't have to be an expert in anything, but you could go on so many podcasts that really care about what you're doing, and you get to plug your music at the beginning. But here's the other thing. When you're going on these podcasts, you could be talking about news. You could be talking about nothing. You could be talking about, like, you know, pop culture stuff, whatever it is. That's why it's important you figure out what your other thing is. Like, for example, I could go on to a comic book podcast and hang with the best of them. Now, I'm not the biggest expert, but I can hang with them, meaning, like, I can also talk to them. And what do I get to do if I go on that podcast? Hey, check out my podcast, check out my music, all that kind of stuff is super important. And all that information is at your fingertips, because every single small and big podcast out there will have a contact info, either in the RSS feed, or it's going to be even easier to find, which is going to be on their website or on the podcast platform itself. They want guests. They need content too. They're just like you, but instead of making music, they talk. It's the same thing, and they should be doing things consistently too. And again, you guys are welcome to come on this podcast once we get to that point to plug your music too. Here's the very last thing. This is the easiest one. Behind the scenes content. People you'd be surprised. Like, then behind the scenes content is more for keeping people engaged as opposed to having people find you, because that's just as important. Once someone finds you, that's where the work starts. Keeping people engaged is very important because people have short-term memory. And I mean, I say this sometimes, you can't name, like, people aren't into like 10 to 20 artists at a time that they're really focused on. It changes all the time. You're in the list and out of the list all the time as an artist. So as a reminder, if you were interested, on my Patreon, patreon.com/BlakeMakesMusic, I just released 100 content ideas for musicians. So we only went over 8. There are 92 more, which is cool. So if you're interested, check that out. Here's what we're going to do. I want to say one last thing on this topic. We're going to run an ad. We're going to go back to the Q&A. We got some really good questions, and I really want to answer them. So I appreciate everybody hanging out, asking the questions. Here's the secret to creating great content. If you consider yourself a YouTuber or a podcaster or whatever, just a content creator that also happens to make music, okay, then you will always go further than someone who considers themselves a musician that happens to make content. Change your mindset. You're a content creator that happens to make music. You will always get more listens that way. Okay, very cool. Thank you everybody for the chat. I'm gonna come back in just a second. We're gonna go into the Q&A. We've got some great questions from 2 people already. I'm very excited to answer them. And let's go ahead and run the ad. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. All of the stuff from Blake Makes Music is absolutely 100% free, except for the Patreon. But what is Patreon? Patreon is a way for people to connect with their favorite creators in a cool, unique way. You can get some cool, unique perks and benefits to your favorite creators online. The Blake Makes Music podcast uses Patreon to connect with those who may need a little extra help with their music career. Join the music club on Patreon. You'll get some exciting benefits like a personal phone call from yours truly, start guides, cheat sheets, music industry contacts, music feedback, resume writing help, weekly Zoom sessions. You can even influence what kind of stuff is talked about on the show. Curious to what else I can help you with on your music career? Check out the Blake Makes Music Patreon by visiting musicadvice.io. Okay, cool. So real quick, speaking of Patreon, if you are a patron, then at 5 o'clock central, so an hour from now, we're going to have our weekly Zoom call, which is awesome. So we'll see you in an hour. We're going to get wrap up in like 15 minutes or so on this, 20 minutes, and then have a quick break. I'll see you in about an hour. If you are not part of that, you would like to participate in the Zoom call, feel free to subscribe to the Patreon. It's really cool. I think people are going to get a lot out of it. So there are a lot of resources there. I would at least recommend that you check it out. Just look at what's available, what I'm offering, which is cool. And every single week I add something new. So anyways, let's go over the Q&A. Thank you so much for the people who asked questions. If you still have questions, type them in the chat right now. I'd love to answer them for you. So Xanax Beats said he's got some issues with I'm having writer's block right now. With writer's block. So Xanax Beats having some issues with writer's block. So here, and he said, I think when he said, focus on trying to make one style of music. All right, cool. So I have 2 solutions for you based on how you asked the question. So here's the first one. Now I have 5 artists that I release music under, 5 artist names. All right, 5 artist names. And you can check all of them out by going to rockmyrecords.com. My whole catalog's there. And I make music for various different genres. I'm not going to put out piano music when I also make electronic music. That makes no sense. So what I would do is I would just create, and then based upon what genre it falls into, I would throw it under a different artist name. Now, these are all drastically different. Now, let's say you're doing different subtypes of hip hop or subtypes of electronic or pop or whatever. That's okay. You have to figure out where you're going to put it. Now, you can make a song today and maybe it doesn't kind of fit where your sound is, you could put that on hold maybe 6 months from now or whenever. Maybe your music can gravitate towards that, you know, sound later. Or if you're not wanting to put it out there, here are two things you can do. You should always make music that is like, you know, not the same thing over and over again. You should make a variety of different things. Is one, you can make some sort of exclusive thing with your fan base. You can make a Patreon yourself. It's free to make. And you can give that song to people who subscribe to you. And at certain point, I will do a Patreon in-depth like strategy. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised at this point I have two patrons. And I just started doing this in the beginning of January. A lot of people will take years to get like any momentum going. So, and thank you both. Again, their Instagrams are always in the description of the video or the podcast. So you could give it away, which is cool. The other thing is, and this is going to go to Random Screams in a second, but you can also put that under your actual name and submit it to film and television and not have it associated with you or streaming services, which is another strategy we'll talk about in just a minute. But for your, in general, for your writer's block, just remember, it's all in your head. This is all in your head. And this is what happens. You go in this recursive loop when you start trying to make music because you take it way too seriously. You take your music so seriously, which is a good thing, but you got to know when to let go. So you got to know when to let go of the fact that you're not going to make gold every single time. You're going, and every artist goes through this. You've got artists that you love, I promise you, that have some crap songs in their catalog. And it's okay. Your expectations and your skill sets not matching, which is normal, will prevent you from just making the music subconsciously. But you have to, once you realize that, it'll help you get over that. The other thing is that sometimes you just have to get the bad music out of your system. Get it out of your system. And that goes back to you're taking it too seriously. You're better off making a bad song than no song. So instead of trying to climb Mount Everest every single day, just go for a walk, you know? Just try to get something out. If you don't make a beat, or you don't make a song, or you don't write a song every day, try to get something out of yourself, even if it's dumb. If it's dumb, that's amazing. Then you could put that off to the side. There's a place for it, and you'd be surprised how many dumb songs get placed onto certain things, specifically with film and television. Excuse me. So put it in what I call a bucket, which is basically a folder in your computer for stuff that you don't really want to release under your artist name, but it has a purpose somewhere, even if it's stupid. Okay, so that's what you got to do. You got to not take yourself so seriously. Don't be afraid to make bad music, because you're always going to progress. And here's what you have to think about. Your creativity and your inner genius, or whatever you want to call it, will always operate at a spectrum. So the better you get by making more music, the tighter that spectrum will get. So instead of being 0 to 100, it may end up slowly going from 10 to 100, 20 to 100. As you continue to get better at making music, just in general, like people can make beats in 5 minutes, they can make 10 beats a day and still go have a job and all that kind of stuff. That's great. Quantity over quality sometimes is a thing. You have to be okay with making a lot of music, and it's never going to be all gold. Cool. So that's what I would say. Random Screams. Here's what I would say. How do you get your music into film and television? So here's what you want to do. This is going to be like a quick 5-minute course on how this works. There's a couple of key points. When you want to get your music into film and television, the best thing to do is think about how the inner process works behind the scenes. If you know how that works behind the scenes, you can really utilize that system to get what you want. I'll give you an example. There's someone at the production company that is, they're called music supervisors. And what they do is they go out and they source the music, and they also make sure that the deals, because they have to license the music, that the deals are going to work out, and they also work on the budget. So that's their three tentpoles of what they do. ZX Beats, I'll get to you in just a second, for sure, because I think it's an important comment. And then, so they work with music supervisors. They specialize in this thing. They work with the director. They sit down and they go, cool, I need this type of music. Or sometimes they say, I need this specific song. And they have a budget of like 10% of the budget for the music for a film. It doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Same thing for TV shows. And what they'll do is they'll spend a lot of money on one, maybe two songs. And out of $100,000, they've got $20,000 left. And they're going to have to pick out all these other, you know, tracks that maybe aren't known or well known. And that's where you guys come in. And myself too. This is where we all come in. Because AC/DC Back in Black is extremely expensive. To license a Beatles song is minimal $1 million. $1 million. Like, you're not going to make an indie film and have a Beatles song in it. It's not going to happen. However, you could pay me $700 and I'll let you license whatever you want, you know? So now that's how that dynamic works. Then there's music coordinators who will go through and they basically are like the... I like to think of them like this. Like, they're basically kind of like the assistants to the production company in terms of music, not necessarily the supervisor, but sometimes they'll make sure that all the rights are being paid out the way they need to be. Long story short, they work on something called a cue sheet, which I have an example. Guess what? In the book, filled out, you can actually see a cue sheet. I wish I knew exactly what page it was on right away. Otherwise, I would just show it to you on camera, but go download it. They need to know all kinds of information about your track so they could pay you, because you get paid up front for the right to use your track in the film or television show. Then you also get paid from being a part of either ASCAP or BMI or CSAC, which is not a publishing company. Those are music, those are performing rights organizations. So they work off of something called performance royalties, meaning like your song is being performed live in front of an audience, basically. It's being broadcasted, not like, oh, I'm performing. Like, that's not what that means. It could be a cover, but that's not what that means. So those people fill out a cue sheet. It basically looks like an Excel sheet. It says who the publisher is, who the songwriter is, how it was used, where it was used, and they submit it to ASCAP or BMI, because they pay a subscription, basically. Let's say Fox or whoever is making the movie, Disney, whatever. And ASCAP or BMI will look at how much money's coming in, and they will pay all the people involved based upon viewership and how it was used. So that's how the money works. Now, the music supervisor, to get to that point where you get onto the cue sheet, what they'll do is they will, they have to make sure that all of that information is available right away without going through any sort of, you know, research, or there's no time to research. They need it now. Like, it's quick. What they'll do is they need to make sure that your metadata, here's a nerdy term, that your metadata is filled out properly. And your metadata is basically all the information inside of your music file that tells you all kinds of stuff. Actually, let me see if I can pull up some software that I use. I'll show you what that kind of stuff looks like. Open with, I use this software called Tag Editor. Here, desktop view, I'll click no for now. All right, cool. So this is called Tag Editor. Here you've got genre, the title, the artist, the album, the year, the album artist, all that kind of stuff. You've got comments. You've got the energy. Is it high energy, low energy? Who's the label, the composer, the file name, the track number? Who owns the copyright? All of that stuff. Now, the instrument, the producer, mixer, all of that kind of stuff. All the credits are involved. This is from an NFT that I made, so it's not filled out like you would a film track. But you would come in here, type in your lyrics. You type in your lyrics. You would have your tags here, so you can make your own tags. You could say rock, hip-hop, whatever you want to say. And you would also put in your comments right here. So you would put in your contact info. You could also create your own information here. Like you could do the subtitle, the rating, tag format, if it came from a radio station. You could do, let's see, you can make your own column for ASCAP, BMI, all that stuff, the publisher. But if you don't have that, you write in the comments, because every single file gets read in the comments that way. It'll read the comments, whether you're in iTunes or whatever. And I show you this because guess what? We've been talking about searches. Now, on the back end, how does a music supervisor find songs? They don't go into Spotify, because you know how long it would take them to find the artist, find the manager, find the publisher, all that kind of stuff, get back. Like, no. They go into what's called a music library. Or, which we'll get into in a second, music library a second. Keep that in your mind for a second. Or they'll go into people who have sent them tracks, like through solicitation, through email, what have you. Those are the two ways they find music from people like you and I, who aren't like, you know, getting that Beatles money, you know what I'm saying? And then what they'll do is they'll say in their database, they'll say, I need a song that's hip hop that is between the BPMs of 100 to 120, maybe in the key of A or A sharp or whatever they're going to say. Then they'll say, I need it to have the lyrics, take your shot. And it needs to have a stems, and which means like has all the instruments broken out into their own files, because maybe they want to be able to take the parts of the vocals out, right? They search based on what's in the metadata. So if you don't have your metadata filled out, you're not ever going to get into any sort of film or television show. So that's the first thing you have to do. I use Tag Editor. You can use other free versions. Kid 3 is a kid, then the number 3. That one you can do one at a time, one song at a time. Tag Editor, you could do like hundreds of tracks at a time. So anyways, I want to make sure that everybody understands that stuff first. Now, how do you get your music into these places? What you want to do is you want to use a platform called Disco. If you go to musicadvice.io, there's a link to Disco. You can get a extended trial, I believe. And it also helps the show out. Thank you if you end up clicking that affiliate link. And it's the biggest music supervisor platform on the planet. Everybody uses it. And it's a way to organize your music, send it out. You can get people's email addresses and send them emails of your playlist. They can download it. It's got all your metadata in there. It's copy protected, all that. It's amazing. And it's not super expensive either. And then what you would do is you would go into LinkedIn and you would find people's contact info. You would get their emails. You could find all this stuff. Is so easy to find, guys. You would do it that way. You create an email campaign, and every time you create a collection of music, you would put it out. Now, you solicit out the music not in the form of singles. You would solicit out usually in a collection of work, because it's a playlist. Let's say you would do like a compilation of hip hop beats. You would want to do like 10, 5, 10, 15, 20, something like that. When you solicit to a music supervisor, if it's instrumental. If it's not instrumental, it's just a song. One song is okay, usually. The other thing is music libraries. Music libraries are another resource available to you. There are hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. And they work off of something called, maybe you could call it quick licensing. So it's like add to cart style stuff. There's no emails going back and forth. They act as the publisher. Most of the time, they will take half, which is normal. Okay. I know a lot of people go half. It's normal. They're taking the publisher share of the deal. They're acting as the publisher. You get the writer share. That's how these businesses operate. If it's anything more than that, if they take anything more than that, then if they take the writer share, any portion of that, then it's not a good deal. Don't take it. But most don't do that, so it's okay. And you can submit to these. Sometimes they're open submission. You can go, like, for example, what's the one? Hold on. I know that I'll pull up a list. I have a big list of music libraries on my Patreon too. All right. I think Artlist may be a music library that you can also call this stock music. That's another word for production music, things like that. Anyways, you want to operate off, there's two types of sync deals. They're called synchronization, right? So you sync to picture. That's the first type of, the money you get when you get that kind of deal is called a sync license or a sync fee. You get a sync fee. Standard is like $700 for just general use, but it can go up way more than that. If you're doing an ad for Coca-Cola or something, you can get like $20,000 like instantly like that. And you don't even, from just a nobody, because they can't afford to pay $100,000. That's just the budget. So you can get at like commercials, all kinds of stuff. Man, commercials pay great. So you just never know. That's why there's so many people out there that make an income making music and they're not famous, because of stuff like this. And most people just don't know how it works. You know? So anyways, that's sync licensing. So then the royalties you get from ASCAP or BMI through sync licensing is another form of payment. So I had a friend. I still call him my friend. This dude worked at Guitar Center with me. Love this guy. And he had like this this band, and he does like folk rock kind of stuff, like Americana, like cool kind of music, would play shows. He had a small fan base, wrote a really good songs. And this dude came to work one day, because I remember I managed him at Guitar Center. I didn't know anything about sync licensing. And he goes, I just got a publishing deal. I'm like, that's awesome, man. And I was thinking, oh, publishers work with the songs. They still use your songs. So that's awesome. Good for you, man. And then he comes back later. He goes, I just got a deal. I got my music into the show New Girl. I'm like, oh, with Zooey Deschanel? That's cool. I watched that show. That's amazing. This is back in like 2014, 2015. And he was like, yeah, it's in the bar scene. So like it comes on. I hear it. I like pay attention. It's really far in the background. I'm like, oh, I get it. It's the ambience of the bar. That's what they're using. Like it's not even, you can't even hear it hardly. So I'm like, that's awesome, man. How much money do they pay you for that? He's like, oh, I got paid like $1,400. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's amazing. $1,400. Like they use it for like 15 seconds in the background. Really, you can't hear it hardly. I had to turn my TV up really loud and I heard it. And, so I was like, that's awesome. Well, they used that same situation 5 or 6 more times. So he got a check, basically $1,400 a week, 6 weeks in a row. That's pretty good. You're paying your bills that month. You know what I'm saying? Even in Los Angeles, which is where this was taking place. And I was like, that's awesome. I wasn't even thinking about ASCAP or BMI royalties. This was just the sync fee. This was just like, hey, can we use your music? Here's some money. This has nothing to do with people watching the show. So it was awesome. So then like a little bit later, he's telling me about his music, and he goes, man, I just got a really big check. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I made about $1,500 or $2,000 back in royalties from those 6 episodes each. So this dude's making well over $10K on top of the $1,400 that he got. And he's I mean, I love you, Michael, but at this situation, you're nobody in terms of this audience right here. Like, nobody, we don't know who you are except for me. But there's a lot of artists out there who are nobody that are actually a somebody. I consider Michael a somebody. And so then he comes up to me later. He's like, you won't believe this. I'm like, dude, you got good news coming up, coming, like, the last couple months have been amazing for you. What, how else, like, what else is going on? He goes, I got on to the show for the season premiere. And I was like, that's awesome. He goes, yeah. And they paid me the $1,400 again to use it. But what happened was, is it was the season premiere that aired on the same network as the Super Bowl, and the show was right after the Super Bowl. And I was like, no way. And he was like, yeah. So, like, I got a lot. He was like, I got paid really, like, a lot of money. I was like, how much? Like, how much? Because we were cool. You could tell me, you know. He was like, I got paid like $14,000 from ASCAP or BMI, whatever, whichever one he said. And I, like, blew my mind. And at that point, I was like, okay, I got to figure out how this works. So that goes to show you that anybody can do this. You don't have to have a lot of money to do this. You just have to have good music and have it formatted in the right way where it's searchable. I'll give you an example. For people who make hip-hop beats, you know how many network shows need hip-hop beats? Like, think about Cartoon Network, Adult Swim. Just the text and the letters, they pull that stuff from a music library. Like, that's what that is. They get paid. Someone's getting paid for that consistently. And it may be the same person. It may not be. But if you make lo-fi hip-hop beats and you're not putting yourself in a music library, something is seriously wrong with your head if you know the information. So I'm telling you the information. If you make beats, please go put them into music libraries. If you would like the giant list and how to submit to it, it's on my Patreon. It's one of the perks. So, music libraries are a big one. It's very easy. And if you want to hang out with me later during the Patreon exclusive Zoom, you can ask me as many questions as you want for the next, you know, 30 or 45 minutes that's going on. And then Xanax Beats, I was thinking about making different accounts, but I'm already struggling with making the content that isn't music for one account. Absolutely. Okay, so look, check this out. Don't just come out of the gate going, I'm going to make 10 artist accounts. I know you're not doing that, but I'm just saying for the people who are listening. What you want to do is you want to start small. You want to think about the bucket of, like, let's say Xanax Beats, right? Like, let's say this is your genre, your style, the kind of music you make. Let's just say, for example, I don't know if this is the music you make. Let's say it's trap beats, just for this demonstration. And everything that's not a trap beat, guess what? You can put into music libraries under your actual legal name. Now, Xanax Beats is not from the United States, because I remember talking to him. I think he said he's from Sweden, maybe, or Switzerland. I can't remember. One of those countries I haven't been to that I want to go to. So his performance rights organizations are going to be different than ASCAP and BMI, but they all work the same way and they all have their way that they do things. But you could still put music into music libraries, but the people who pay you on the back end will be different. So just remember that if you're listening outside of the United States. Like, if you're in the UK, I think it's PRS. It's not ASCAP or BMI. It's like PRS and some other. Every country's got some other legislation that does what ASCAP or BMI does. So, yeah, throw it into the bucket. Just release it, you know? Xanax Beats and Random Screams. Y'all, you guys connect with each other. Throw your Instagrams in the chat. And it'll be on the screen forever, which is awesome. And you guys can connect online, which is amazing. I'm playing a musical matchmaker today, which is great. I think it's awesome. So anyways, just put it into a bucket. But here's the thing. If you are a hip-hop artist, a hip-hop producer, if you're a hip-hop producer and you make beats and you can make beats every day, which you should, like, if you can't make a beat a day, like, that should be a that should be at least capable of. If you're not capable of making a B today, that's something to strive for. And then you have to work in the timing thing. So then you should shoot for making at least a B today, at least. Now, that's 365 beats a year. That's a lot of tracks. That's a lot of tracks. And then you can also think about like how many opportunities do you get populating into that search bar? Because again, quantity over quality sometimes is a thing, but most of the time, like I understand people are saying like, you know, quality, but here's the thing though. If you go into some of these music libraries and just listen to what's there, try to find comedy music. And these things are listed by like film genres, mind you, most of the time. So it's like horror instrumental, and you can make like horror based trap music, whatever you want to do, and just try to make it fit, that puzzle piece fit into the puzzle. You know what I'm saying? Format all that stuff. And it doesn't have to be a 5 minute track. In fact, it should be about a minute and a half. It should be 2 minutes or less. More than a minute though. That's because most scenes and stuff like that, or like commercials, like they're 30 seconds, a minute, 90 seconds, stuff like that. That's typically where they're at. There's a structure to it, an ABA section, sort of like, you know, that's kind of how they're formatted to most things. And they're, you know, so just look it up or come ask me more about it. So it's 4:30 my time. I'm going to take a break before we start doing our Patreon exclusive Zoom. And I hope this was informative to people checking this out live. And if you're on the podcast listening later or on YouTube listening later, what have you, I just want to say thank you so much. You guys have grown my channel so much quicker than I thought it was going to be. I am so grateful for everybody, whether you are a subscriber, a follower, a Patreon member, whatever it may be. I appreciate everybody so much for participating. Everybody means the world to me. I'm so glad we can make these connections and stuff because it's not just about me up here ranting. I actually feel like good about helping others, which is amazing. I think we need more people in the world who make music that know what they're doing. And I think we'll be able to really make a big difference in how things work in the entertainment industry. So thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. Oh, yeah, you're welcome, Random. Absolutely. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put up this screen here. You guys can finally see at the end. I've got 133 subscribers. I got three more since I started this video. That's amazing. I can't believe that. I'm almost at 40 Twitch followers, which is crazy. And someone subscribed to my Twitch, which is awesome too. Maurice. Thanks, Maurice. So anyways, everybody have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make music every day. I'll see you next week.